T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by iParkit Parking App.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
This is probably too much information, but I always keep my phone in my back pocket. I just feel like my ass is buzzing permanently at this point. It's crazy.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
It is Wednesday. Hub is with us. That means tape has been watched. Conclusions have been drawn. Plays have been analyzed. He is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. Score NFL Insider, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So usually on this day, we find out if some of your first blush feelings match up with a little bit more in-depth analysis. So what did you learn?
Yeah, guys, good morning. Thanks for having me, as always. You know, it was one of those games where it just reinforced everything that I thought I saw. There was really nothing to pick apart except for the penalties. You know, that continues to be a little bit of an issue. And yeah, the Raiders had 10 for 82. That was some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. But the Bears had 8 of their own for 70 yards. They've got to clean that up. Beyond that, though, you know, as far as the play on both sides of the ball, just really impressive stuff. You know, those two running backs stepping in for Montgomery the way they did, the vision that all three of these guys appear to have and the toughness, you know, the yards after contact. I think it's, you know, pretty exciting running back room right now. And the offensive line is growing with it. They played even a little better than I realized they did. You know, everybody has seen by now James Daniels beheading that safety, you know, and that's really kind of a fluke play. I don't know why. I still haven't made out his number, which one it was in the video, but why he's leaping like that to help Daniels, I don't know. It was probably not in the top five of the blocks he made. He just had a great game Sunday. You know, Alex Bars isn't just a gimmick out there. He's not just an extra guy. He is removing people in the run game and in pass pro. The pass protection of those two running backs also was something that I thought was really remarkable. Well, remarkable is a stretch, but it was really, really good. And so, you know, you look on the defensive side of the ball, that they were able to play that well against the run without Akeem Hicks. That's because Eddie Goldman's back, and he doesn't dent the stat sheet, so people don't realize it all that much. But the work he does inside, you know, absorbing double teams, sometimes even a third guy, and keeping people off the rest of that defense to let them make the tackles is very impressive. And the secondary played very well. It's not just, you know, because Houston Carson gets a pick or because Deion Bush comes up and has a big hit. Jalen Johnson, he did blow the one coverage. It was him who missed Ruggs. I think Jackson, which kind of intrigued me, kind of, you know, threw him under the bus on that after the game. But hey, you know, that's actually more of a mental mistake. He has become a lockdown cover corner the more you watch him. And the other two kids, Vildor and Shelley, have improved week to week. I was really worried about Shelley early, but each week he gets a little better, a little more comfortable back there. And then just the design on both sides. You know, yeah, at some point you got to throw the ball more than 20 times, but I love what Lazor did with his offense, and you got to really start to become impressed with Sean Desai. He's given some looks back there, guys, that people haven't seen before, and that's what's always separated Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell, and it's pretty clear that he's a disciple.
Well, and let's continue with the Sean Desai discussion, because one of the fun notes I found from the media yesterday was the quote from Tashawn Gibson about getting his first career sack. And he said, out of 10 years, that's crazy. That lets you know my defensive coordinators didn't appreciate my pass rushing ability. Sean Desai does. That's why he's my guy. And to hear players talk like that, veterans who we've seen be put in good positions to succeed, I think says so much.
It really does. You know, they're a happy bunch now, guys. They're getting better each week. They're getting healthier. I think the one thing that we've taken for granted is that they actually had 10 of their 11 starters available Sunday for the first time. I mean, you know, to play that well without Akeem Hicks was really impressive. But they got Gibson back. They got Danny Trevathan out there, worked him in seamlessly with Ogletree. Both guys made plays, and that's going to be interesting now to see how that two-man rotation works, because you do not want Roquan Smith off the field more than, you know, a play or two, if at all. And as I said, with these young DBs getting better, we're starting to see, you know, what and who this defense can be. And the thing that I think everybody, including Sean Desai, was probably worried about is how would the 30-somethings, you know, hold up. Robert Quinn may be playing the best football of his life. And if we worried at all that Khalil Mack didn't have that extra special ingredient that made him Khalil Mack, because we haven't seen as much of it, you know, the last year or so. You sure saw it Sunday. And I think the reminder for him, you know, that it's still there and it can't just be in a, quote, revenge game, is going to be big. And you know he's going to find it again this week with the Packers coming to town. That's how he was introduced to town. So, you know, do you get Hicks back? It seems a little quick for a groin injury like that. I certainly hope so. I don't have any medical insight. But usually those are 3, 4, even 5-week deals. But boy, if he made a quick recovery, I can't wait to see what they can do with all their people out there on the field together.
We talked to Sage Rosenfels about this yesterday, and I found it very interesting what Dave Wannstedt said about the significance of Devontae Adams and the percentage of the passing offense for the Packers that he is right now. And it was a little counterintuitive, where you'd think put Jalen Johnson on him and get your best corner on their best receiver. Dave said no, he looks at it differently, that he'd rather take away the other receiver and then use numbers, X's and O's, positioning, safety help to take away the star, and he was in a better headspace doing it that way, even when he had a guy like Darrell Revis at Pitt. What would you do? And obviously you can't fully take Devontae Adams away, but how can you limit his production?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that theory at all. But, you know, that doesn't mean you want to take – Johnson has started traveling now. That's how good he is becoming. He's getting the other team's best receiver. You know, I agree. Devontae Adams is good enough that even a Jalen Johnson, maybe a Jalen Ramsey, is not going to completely take him away. So scheme for him, confuse them, have guys coming from places that you're not expecting. Now, you're not going to confuse Aaron Rodgers the way you're going to confuse most other quarterbacks. But even if you just do once or twice, it can be the difference in the game. What you're not going to do, though, is say, okay, well, then who do we put Johnson on? He doesn't need to travel. You give him his side of the field. You give Vildor his side of the field. You play with that nickel and dime the way they did Sunday, and you just create a lot of traffic. The beauty of what's it all, I know it's an old cliche, guys, but it all starts up front. And the beauty of what Quinn and Mac are doing right now is that they're creating real pressure with four guys. And when you can drop seven, you know, I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, you've still got to find space out there. And if you're doing a good job of disguising where that space is, you know, that's how, you're not going to shut them down, but that's how you limit them. That's how maybe you turn the 350, 375 into 240, 250. Because if you do that, you hold Adams under 100 yards with the softness of that Packer defense, you've got a real good chance of upsetting them.
We learned that Jeremiah Tauchu is out for the year with a torn pec. Do you think that means we're going to see a lot more of Travis Gibson?
You know, I think we were going to see more of Travis Gibson anyway. And first of all, it's really unfortunate because Tauchu came in and played well, and he is a quality veteran. But this is what's intriguing about the way they put this roster together. First of all, you know, Gibson does look like he's arriving, like the guy that it was worth trading, you know, the four to come up for the five to get him, because you thought he was going to be a pass rush specialist. He can do more. He played interior defensive line in college, but you got him as a pass rusher, and now he's starting to show up. And Tauchu is a good football player who never really became, you know, quite the pass rusher we thought he was going to be. So this can be a swap. It could even be a step up if Gibson continues to improve. And then when I talk about the way you put that roster together, Christian Jones has spent equal time outside and inside during the course of his career. So you've got extra backup there. And Alec Ogletree can slide outside if you want now that Trevathan is inside. So, you know, he's a good football player. You hate to see anybody get hurt, but this is not the kind of injury that has to put a big dent in your defense.
What I liked about Khalil Mack specifically, to sort of double back to that, is he's gotten back to bull rushing. He's gotten back to simply using his strength rather than trying to spin away or around. He can still do all that, but it's, if you're going to line up two guys here, one of those guys is just going to get knocked on his ass. And he's been using that one arm stick move that he's got right into the sternum of the offensive lineman. That tells me that good things are happening, because once a lineman's got that in his head, everything plays off of that. All of his move, everything can then flow from that. But the fact that he's got that back bodes well.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I think what we forget about Khalil sometimes is that you look at these edge rushers, and when they're going against these 320, 330-pound tackles, you know, you say to yourself, well, the bull rush, I mean, how can he handle it? He's given up 60, 70 pounds. A lot of it is leverage in addition to the bull rush and the speed rush. But in addition to that, Mack is a really big outside edge rusher. You know, he checks in at a legitimate 262, 265. A lot of these kids are 240, 250. And so, and he's such a workout warrior that he's just incredibly strong and powerful. And it is great to see. He doesn't need a lot of tricks, you know. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a little prediction here, because it's one thing we haven't seen. And particularly if Akeem Hicks can't go, I expect that you're going to see, you know, some of these 30 and 40 fronts where they try and put Quinn and Mack and Gibson, Travis Gibson, all on the field at the same time, because teams cannot block them when they put Mack and Quinn on the same side. We're seeing that. They discovered that week two, and that's when the pass rush really started to take off. And now, you know, if you put them on the same side and you can have Travis Gibson on the other side, I'm not comparing him to Khalil Mack. He has so far to go. But body type and stylistically, he's a similar type suspect. Prospect, not suspect. You know, that could get really interesting.
You keep your ear to the league in a way that I think is notable, especially when it comes to this week. I know we touched on it a little bit, but what are you hearing about the fallout of this investigation, what the latest pieces are when it comes to John Gruden, now Adam Schefter involved, and the like, and whatever else is going to happen from here?
Yeah, I haven't seen what Adam may or may not have said, you know, last night or today, but just in general, I was on with Danny and Matt yesterday afternoon, as I am every Tuesday at 4, and Danny brought up this idea of this conspiracy theory, you know, about Gruden. He doesn't work for Washington. Why is this happening? Because I don't need one more conspiracy theory in my life, and so my initial reaction was, God, I haven't even thought about it. I don't want to think about it. But it is hard to stop for a minute, knowing that vote for DeMaurice Smith was on Friday, Knowing that he has not done a good job for the NFL Players Association, knowing that he's rigged this process so he doesn't really have to get examined by the entire membership to get reelected, and he got reelected, I think it's a three-year term, literally, you know, by the hair on his chin, and you kind of wonder, you know, was somebody trying to stack the deck? I know now everybody wants to see the other 650,000 emails. I have to believe that it is 98% the Washington football team. This was happening because Gruden and Bruce Allen were such good friends, and Bruce Allen was in the middle of all this trouble and mischief that Washington was getting into. But you know, this could be one where 2 and 2 equal 4, but they got to show me a lot more evidence for me to really want to believe that this is a conspiracy, you know, or any of that. I think right now it's just as horrible as somebody, you know, who isn't necessarily who we thought he was being exposed for who he appears to be.
Next up, Hub belongs to you. So let's add to these blinking lights to my left, 312-644-6767. Your phone calls, your questions, your comments, Hub's answers are next on Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's segment number two with Hub Arkish here on Wednesday at the bottom of the hour. That's brought to you by DuckDuckGo, and that means it is your turn with him. We will begin with our first caller, Bill South Shore, on The Score with Hub. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, Hub. Happy Packers week. So, like you said, it all starts up front, Hub. And since 1992, now for 29 years of back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I've seen the Packers early in the game dismantle that pass rush with a very effective and annoying screen game to then loosen that up and make that work for them in the second half with slowing down the pass rush. What can we see to have the Bears try and utilize that? I feel like they haven't utilized it well since the Matt Forte era, and fight that off. And then lastly, about A-Rob, okay, with the Bears as they stand, you know, with playing downhill with the offensive line and the speedsters on the outside stretching the secondary, I thought that A-Rob would be feasting, if not feasting, at least eating well in some mid-range routes from like 10 to 14 yards, you know, after spreading that out, sucking up the LBs, and then stretching out the secondary. Can we expect to see more of that, hopefully? And thank you so much.
Well, Bill, thank you for the phone call. I think as far as the screen game, two things. First of all, yeah, the Packers have killed the Bears with it over the years, as well as every other team in the league. And one of the things we were talking in the last segment about studying the tape, if you notice, the Raiders tried it, and the Bears had it nailed for the most part several times, both wide receiver screens and running back screens. So the defense played it well against the Raiders, and I'm sure they'll be aware of it for the Packers. As far as everything going on in the passing game right now, you know, it's not just A-Rob this or you know, where's Marquise Goodwin's speed. It's all about the development of Justin Fields and how they're going about it. And within the opportunities they're giving him in the passing game, what he's learned so far and what he's still not seeing. You know, I think what you have to understand is you look at the kid was heroic Sunday. He definitely took another big step forward. I'm more excited about him than I was before the game. I'm assuming everybody else is too. But he's not getting the quarterback's job done, you know, close to 100%. You look at those numbers, I forget off the top of my head, 12 for 20, I think, for 111 yards. You wouldn't accept that from anybody else. So at the end of the day, it's pretty simple. It's not his fault. He's trying to get ready as quick as he can. They're teaching him as quick as he can. But the passing game is just not working, you know, and there's still a lot of development and growth that we have to get out of him, that they have to get out of him, I should say. And that's when you're going to start to see more of all these other things that you want to see. It does start there. How much are they willing to give him? And then how prepared is he to execute it? He's getting better each week, but there's still a long way to go.
Next up is Frank in Oak Park with Hub on The Score.
Hub, P. picking up on sort of that general thing from the first call, there's a lot of negative talk about the lack of catch.
Hey, Frank, we're going to have you call back. We're having some phone issues. Either that or you paid a visit to Munchkin Land.
I thought that was Robin Williams doing Frank.
Most startling thing I've heard.
Hub, I've been breathing helium all morning, and I have a question for you regarding the tight ends.
That was not... Something was odd there.
That was Frank, but that was not really
right.
Frank.
Yeah, that was...
We have all been thrown off in the most pleasant way
this
possible.
This is Frank. Someone's squeezing my sack right now, but it doesn't mean I don't have a question.
Is Frank back? We have Frank.
Wait, Frank, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Am I de-weirded?
Yes, well, kind of. I mean, at least the way you sound.
Okay. Getting back to the question, there's a lot of negative talk about the lack of catches by Bear tight ends this year. You watch a lot of all 22 videos, so I think you can make a detailed judgment on this. Is the lack of production because Fields is not seeing open guys, or instead are Kmet, Graham, Holtz, James, and Horsted just suffering from less passing and more run play? And even when they do pass, the tight ends are often either kept in the block or at least required to chip on ends and outside backers. Hub, as long as Lazor has a real fear his backup-grade tackles will get Fields disemboweled if he gets pass-happy, can this really change?
Well, Frankie, yes, it can change. But the answer to the question is, it's all of the above. I think that, Cole Kmet has hit a little bit of a wall in his development. Thought he had a really good training camp. He's not playing badly. I'm not being critical of him here. I'm just saying that he has not taken that next step that appeared to be so close yet, and I think they're still working towards it, and I think it's getting his complete game together. The way they're using Jimmy Graham is intriguing. They're just not making him a primary or even secondary target all that often. And then when they do, is Justin Fields seeing everybody? Where does he come in the progression? Jesse James was exciting, during training camp. It was clear he was going to make the team, and now he's been away dealing with some personal issues. I think it's like 10 days. I think this was the first game he missed, but we don't know what's going on there. But then you see, as soon as you get your receiving tight end, Jesper Horsted, in there, who catches the first touchdown? So I think it's all there. A lot of it is the times that they are doing max protect, and they've got so much two and even three tight end, and sometimes that third tight end is Alex Bars. I asked Matt on Monday, is he just playing tight end, or did you create a new position for him? Because we've all seen the sixth offensive lineman, but you just don't see that. I don't think I've ever seen that guy in motion before, and we saw that.
He did it with Bradley Sowell, didn't he?
But remember, they made Sowell a tight end. Towards the end of his stay with the Bears, he tried to become a tight end. So you could be right, but that's where I'm going with this. Is you're going back to 18 now, and they had defensive linemen on offense in motion. With Santa Slay and all the whatever, I forget the names of all those
Oompa
plays
Loompa,
that he was
Willy
running.
Wonka, all that
Santa
stuff.
Slay was 100% a name.
Yep.
So I think that, he'd love to bring some of that stuff back. But as he has wisely told us the last year or two, it's only smart to do that when you're winning, when you've got some momentum. But to Frank's point, it's not just the tight ends that are missing. I mean, Marquise Goodwin and Demir Byrd were not brought here to do what they've done the first, five games, which is little or nothing. And so, again, this is the overall development of the passing game. It's not just Justin Fields. It's not just the tight ends. It's this process that they're going through while they try and compete and win while they do it.
Tony's in Skokie. He is on the Score with Hub. Tony.
Hi, I hope I sound okay. my question's about Mason Crosby. If you were the Packers, would you bring in some competition for this guy? My God, he missed three straight field goals and an extra point last week after making 27 in a row. Do you think it would behoove the Packers to do that, or would you think they're just going to stand pat with Mason?
Yeah, no, I don't think it would make any sense at all. As you just pointed out, that came after hitting 27 in a row. It's not like this is epidemic or anything. He had a bad day. Matt LaFleur said after the game, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but that was not all on Mason Crosby. There were some issues with the operations. I haven't really stopped. I've been watching their tape tonight, as a matter of fact. I watched a lot of the game, but want to go back and study that a little bit and see what happened there. But you're talking about a guy who's made, you know, more pressure kicks than any of us can imagine. And as you just said, he was coming off a streak of 27 straight. He had one hit an upright. He had another one go wide by about 6 inches. It's not like he has become completely discombobulated. And I just hope that he doesn't get a chance to try a game winner against the Bears, because he's one of the better pressure veteran kickers in the league.
Here's your guy, Hub, Todd and Dwight on the Score.
Hey, guys. And Dan and Layla, I'm so glad you appreciated my Herbert Hoover connection last week. So,
I was laughing fabulous. About it 2 days ago still.
Well, I've been teaching history for 30 years, and, you know, of course, you got all these pictures of the presidents on the wall that I've been staring at for three decades, and I just, when I saw his, you know, you guys have those pictures for your pages, you know, when you stream, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a young Herbert Hoover, especially with the high-collared dress shirt that he had on a couple of years ago. But anyways, I'm glad you could see the connection like I did. So,
amazing.
But, Hub, anyways, my question, I actually have two if there's time, but the big one is about Baker. I know you were pretty high on him coming out, and I'm not an anti-Baker guy, but, you know, there's some similarities as far as contract goes with Mitch. You know, we're closing in. They're going to have to make a decision. And with the analytics department being so important in Cleveland with DePodesta and Barry, the analytics really wouldn't support a massive contract, you know, $100 million plus, 40 to 50 guaranteed, which is what it's going to take to get a starting quarterback, especially one that was the number one overall pick. I love his grittiness, and I think he's above average, but, you know, I don't know. And I know that's the cost of a quarterback in today's NFL, but what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a lock that they're going to extend him, or do you think the jury's still out? And if there's time, just what's your thoughts on JLK? I'm not down on him, but the national media really seems to be super high on him. I read two different articles that have him in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he's played so sparingly. Is that based on potential? But anyways, I always love your insight, and you know, I'll try to keep up with my presidential lookalikes for you guys. Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, on the last part, you can't be the Defensive Rookie of the Year when you're being used so sparingly. My take is an exciting, you know, young football player who we just need to see more of. I wish I had more for you on that, but I really don't. As far as Mayfield, you know, first of all, it's not a crisis. They're obviously going to exercise the fifth year if they haven't already, or you know, they will. And yet, you know, you don't like to get to that fifth year because it's not very cap friendly. We talked about this, Todd. I thought it was you and I, actually. It wasn't, but with somebody leading up to that Browns game. And I said I had heard some reports that he might be having some shoulder problems. And then watching that game against the Bears, you know, you couldn't take your eyes off the defense and what a train wreck the Bears were.
He's got a torn labrum.
Yeah, well, what happened, that's what I'm saying, is he started airmailing everything he tried to throw to his left, and I tweeted about it a couple times, and then it wasn't until a week and a half later when it was confirmed that he's got a torn labrum in his left non-throwing shoulder. But try throwing across your body with a torn labrum. I mean, it's excruciating. So right now the kid is gutting it out. Mitch Trubisky tried to do this, remember? You know, and you know, it just
after Harrison Smith hit him, right? And then he wore the harness? Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows you how tough these kids are when they try and play with it, but it's not a fair gauge of who he is as an NFL quarterback. And when you've got that running game that they've got, he's not going to be developed in the same way that a Justin Herbert or a Trevor Lawrence or hopefully a Justin Fields is, although the Bears are obviously focused on the running game too. I think Mayfield is absolutely a keeper. I know the Browns think that. Obviously, it's always a question of how much you're going to have to pay to keep him. No, he doesn't. He's had a few games where he looks like he can throw and play with the big boys. Based on his overall numbers, it's hard to envision a $130, $140 million contract. But they don't have to make that decision right now. So my answer is I think they're going to do everything they can to keep Baker Mayfield. Now, how they work out the price and what it takes is what's going to, you know, develop over the next at least 4 or 5 weeks if they try and get something done early this year. And if not, you know, when he plays on the fifth-year option.
One more for Hub, Matt in St. Charles on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, Hub. on Monday, you were talking about Jermaine Ifedi going down and how Elijah Wilkinson will just kind of slide right in there. I'm just wondering if there's any kind of information on Larry Borum or Tevin Jenkins. If I mean, I know Tevin's probably not coming back till later, but if there's any update on those offensive linemen. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, actually, Matt was asked about that in his Monday press conference, specifically about Borum, and he said they don't know yet. They just don't have anything yet. He is already, I believe, eligible to come back off of IR after this week. You know, it only is 3 weeks, but if you're not ready, there's no point in bringing him back because at some point you have to clear a roster spot. So he didn't say no. But he certainly didn't sound like there was any exciting news coming. So I'm guessing Borum is at least a few weeks away. That was a high ankle sprain. We know how tricky those can be. And with Tevin Jenkins, it was always going to be sometime after midseason, probably after the bye. And again, we haven't heard anything to suggest that that is not still the plan.
All right, Hub, Bears or Packers?
You know, I've been trying on Wednesday, guys, but I'm just not ready this week. I mean, you know, I'm probably going to have to end up taking the Packers because I don't want to, you know, we always run the risk of overreacting. And as much fun as Sunday was, you can't ignore how bad the Raiders were. I mean, those drop passes and those penalties, there's no way that that first field goal shouldn't have been 7. You know, other things could have happened in that game. Excited about the way the Bears are playing. There's no question they have a chance to win this one. Can't wait to see what the running game is going to do against that Packer defense. But to me, at the moment, it's feeling like a coin toss, which means it probably comes down to Rodgers late. But I'll put it in print on Friday. And hey, real quick, guys, I know this is completely unrelated, but I just love to share special stuff. Have you guys ever heard of an actor named Jamie Costa, C-O-S-T-A? I think he's a Canadian actor.
No.
There is a viral video out there this morning of him doing Robin Williams. And everybody's got to love Robin Williams. It's stunning. I mean, Google, you know, Jamie Costa, Robin Williams. You watch this. It's about a 3-4 minute clip. And I thought I was watching Robin Williams. So for all you Robin fans out there, you might want to check it out.
All right. Well, maybe somebody could be doing the biopic right there. Then you got your leader in the clubhouse for the portrayal. Thanks, Hub.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
That is Hub Arkish. Interesting little tidbit on the end there.
Hub Arkish with a pop culture nugget.
Tonight, join Mark Grody and former Chicago Bear Lance Briggs for the latest Miller Lite Top Draft Show of the season from 6 to 9 p.m. at Night Games Bar and Grill in Oak Forest. And while you're there, register for a chance to win Miller Lite Loft tickets to a future Bears home game. Brought to you by Miller Lite, proud beer partner of your Chicago Bears. Taste Bears fans can depend on. It's Miller time. When we come back, Ozzie Guillen had some very complete thoughts for the near-term decisions of the Chicago White Sox. So you'll hear those next in the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
What did individually what you guys accomplished this year, this season, mean to you? I guess probably for different reasons, but what did it mean to you individually?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch and to talk about the group, you know. You have to watch Gavin here grow, be a pretty impactful player. It's hard to do as a rookie because it's very intimidating. But he showed up and played well. Showed some people that he could play some baseball. I had a lot of good things happen this year. A lot of people proved some people wrong. Tim kept on hitting like he always does. Cease, you know, you saw him develop into something special. Still has some room to grow. And, you know, a lot of people helped this team win.
Okay. Yes. I'm not in the mood for putting a bow on the White Sox going out that way, going out that dumb. It just didn't have to be like that. And
then what happened to our first hour?
And La Russa, too, just got all weird. Instead of trying to give some perspective to what the year was and what it meant, he's complaining about them throwing it, Jose Abreu, on purpose when they didn't? Like, making a where's that going? Where's that going?
To hour number 5 of that ball game.
Right. I really don't get that at all. So Ozzie Guillen was on this morning, as he always is during baseball season, with Mully and Haw. And he was asked pretty straightforwardly about what he's going to do this offseason if he's the White Sox.
Is that Rodon's last game with the White Sox? And where do you pitch Kopech next year? Is he still a piece of the bullpen? Does he move into a starting rotation job? What about those two?
Well, I think Rodon
I don't think they're going to sign Rodon back. I don't think that's too early to say it. I doubt it. I will move Kopech to the starting rotation. I think Crochet was a starter in the past. And they'll go with the two kids with a good arm. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with Keiko, you know, because they already have a one more year contract. But right now, it's kind of too early.
Would you bring back Kimbrel for $16 million, or would you say goodbye?
No, I don't bring it back.
Yeah.
I know Andre Hang, I know Kenny Wheeler, I don't want to beat them.
I'm with you.
But I know because a lot of money, and you already have a closer. I will keep Tempera. But, you know, the way they use him, I don't think they should bring it back.
There you have it. Although Bob Nightingale says they are going to bring him back, they're going to exercise the option, then they're going to trade him.
Speaking of Bob Nightingale, did you see the list he tweeted? And you got to take it seriously. Let's all remember last year when he was the only one who had the Tony La Russa news of the Padres managerial candidates, where Ozzie should be on the list if he so wanted. It's Bruce Bochy, Buck Showalter, Jeff Bannister, John Gibbons, Ron Reneke, John Farrell, and Brad Ausmus.
That is white entitlement in a list.
Bruce Bochy has won 3 World Series recently, more recently than Tony.
But just in general, that just reeks of white entitlement.
Ron Reneke took one for the team with that one gap year for Alex Cora, I suppose. Farrell has World Series, right?
Yeah.
At least. 18.
Buck Showalter. I mean, just hearing his broadcast the other night should be disqualifying.
The Baseball Tonight podcast Buster Olney made a big argument for his candidacy for a previous managerial job. I want to say it was 2-3 years ago when Buck was just fresh out of the game after being in Baltimore.
We will do a very quick transition with Lawrence Holmes. He's got Steve Stone at the top of the hour on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.